Good morning, all. We're going to read now from Psalm 4, which is on page 544, if you've got a pew Bible to hand. So that's Psalm 4, page 154. No, sorry, page 544. These glasses aren't quite as good as they should be. Psalm 4. For the director of music with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin when you are on your beds. Search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. Fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound. In peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety.
Good morning, everyone. Let's pray to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Please speak to us, and we may see your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just imagine for a moment that you are King David. You are no longer sitting safely on the throne in Jerusalem. Instead, you are fleeing for your life. Your own son Absalom has rebelled against you, and people are turning against you, and trusted friends have betrayed you, and your reputation is collapsing publicly. As David leaves Jerusalem, he walks barefoot, weeping, surrounded by fear, shame, uncertainty, and rejection. Behind him is a broken kingdom. Ahead of him is an unknown future. Eventually, he crossed the Jordan River, and exhaustion and grief. Psalm 3 reflects David's cries while fleeing from Absalom. It is the prayer of a man surrounded by enemies and overwhelmed by danger. And Psalm 4 appears to move into the evening after the long and painful journey. And David has crossed the river, and night has fallen, and danger has not disappeared. His son still seeks his life. His kingdom is still divided. His circumstances remain unresolved. And yet, astonishingly, David says in verse 8, in peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. How is this possible? We often imagine David's life as one long story of victory and success, the shepherd boy who defeated Goliath and became king. But much of David's life was marked by betrayal, grief, danger, slander, and deep emotional suffering. Many of the Psalms were not written from palace of comfort, but from seasons of tears, fear, and sleepless nights. Psalm 4 is a psalm for nights like that. There are moments in life when everything around us seems to collapse at once. Sometimes it is not physical danger that troubles us most, but shame, misunderstanding, slander, rejection, or anxiety. Someone speaks falsely about us. Our reputation is attacked. Our future feels uncertain. We lie awake replaying conversation in our minds, worrying about tomorrow, wondering whether things will ever be made right. Yet David, surrounded by distress and uncertainty, lies down in peace, because the light of God's face shines upon him. Ultimately, this psalm points us beyond David to the greater King, the Lord Jesus, the one who was falsely accused, publicly shamed, rejected by men, and yet perfectly trusted his Father. In Psalm 4, we see three truths. First, God hears his people in distress. Second, God gives joy deeper than the world. And third, God gives peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. First, God hears his people in distress. David begins the psalm with a prayer. Look at verse 1. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. David begins not with panic, but with prayer. The foundation of his prayer is this: my God is righteous. David is being falsely accused and publicly shamed by his own son, and in this psalm, righteousness is courtroom language. Human judgment has become twisted. But David knows that above every false human verdict stands the righteous judge who sees truth perfectly. God's righteousness means God never confuses truth and falsehood. God never judges unjustly. God sees what others cannot see. God vindicates what is right in his own time. So David appeals to God precisely because God is righteous. This also explains the second half of the verse. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. David is not demanding justice as though he was sinless. He still asks for mercy. David knows he is a sinner before God. Yet in this particular situation, he knows he is being treated unjustly by his own son and others. Therefore, he entrusts himself to the righteous God who judges rightly. This becomes even clearer. Look at verse 2. How long will your people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? David's enemies are distorting reality. Truth is being replaced with lies. Honor is being turned into shame. Yet David does not ultimately defend himself before men first. He brings his case before God. Then even naturally follows in the next verse. Look at verse 3. Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. David anchors his identity not in human opinion, but in divine belonging. Set apart is a covenant language. It means chosen, marked out, belonging to God. David is saying, though men may accuse me, God has claimed me. At one level, this is David's confidence as God's anointed king, but it points beyond David, God's promised king, our Lord Jesus. Jesus is truly set apart, a righteous one who was perfectly innocent, yet falsely accused, mocked, condemned, and crucified. Human courts declared him guilty, but God vindicated him through the resurrection. The Lord Jesus is the ultimate righteous, faithful, suffering King. And because believers are united to Christ by faith, we too can come before God confidently, not because we are morally flawless, but because we are clothed with Christ's righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is a Christian's confidence in prayer. We come to our righteous God through the righteous Christ. So when believers are misunderstood, falsely accused, or wounded by the words of others, Psalm 4 teaches us to go, not first to revenge, not first to self-defense, but to righteous God, who hears, knows, and judges rightly. And look at verse 3 again. The Lord hears when I call to him. God hears us because we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the world may misjudge, misunderstand, and malign us, but the deepest reality remains unchanged. In Christ, we are known, loved, and heard by God. And this is the foundation of David's confidence and ours in the midst of distress. But David does not stop at identity. He also addresses response. First, look at in verse 4 to 5, he turns from being wrongly accused to showing how God's people should live under pressure. Look at verse 4 to 5. Tremble and do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your heart and be silent. Offer the sacrifice of the righteous and trust in the Lord. David refused the common human reaction to injustice. He does not say, strike back. He does not say, defend your honor at all cost. Instead, he calls for a pause before God. Tremble and do not sin is a warning that strong emotions must not lead to sinful responses. Anger is not automatically righteous simply because we feel wronged. There is a kind of anger that quickly becomes self-justifying, bitter, or destructive. So David says, search your hearts and be silent. In other words, step away from reaction and bring everything in your heart before God. Let God examine what is true in you before you respond to what is wrong around you. Then he says, offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. This is the covenant language. David is saying, instead of repaying evil with evil, return to worship. Instead of acting like those who do not know God, live as those who belong to him. When we are wronged, we are not left to vengeance or bitterness. We are called to trust God's justice, to bring our hearts under his rule, and to respond in a way shaped by the gospel rather than by our emotions and feelings. And this is exactly what Jesus himself did. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered injustice, he entrusted himself to the Father who judges justly. So in verses 1 to 5, shows us a complete picture. Our righteous God hears us and claims us and teaches us how to respond in holiness under pressure. In distress, we are not only invited to speak to God, but also taught how to live before him. Secondly, God gives joy deeper than the world. David now has turned from the hostility of his enemies to the fundamental issue in the human heart. the search for happiness, security, and satisfaction. Look at verse 6. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. Prosperity in Hebrew in verse 6 means goodness, welfare, and happiness. In every generation, people are asking the same question in different forms. What makes me happy? What gives me security? What satisfies my heart? And where can I find true joy? The world answers these questions with temporary solutions. People look for joy in wealth, success, comfort, pleasure, recognition, entertainment, football, relationships, or personal achievement. No earthly thing can fully just satisfy human soul because we were created to know God, to live in fellowship with Him, and to find our deepest joy in His presence. Instead of asking merely for changing circumstances, he prays, "Let the light of your face shine on us." This is David's answer to the question, "What makes me happy?" When God is with me, I am secure and happy. The light of God's face speaks of His favor, His presence, His grace, His love, and His blessing. David understands the greatest gift is not prosperity itself, but the presence of God, God Himself. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 26 is a famous blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. When God's face shines upon His people, it means He looks upon them with covenant love and mercy. To have God's face turned towards you means acceptance rather than rejection, grace rather than wrath, peace rather than condemnation. Ultimately, this blessing is fulfilled in Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness and will have the light of life." Jesus is the light of God's face shining into a dark world. Through Christ, the sinners who once stood condemned can now be welcomed to God's presence. In Christ alone, God's face shines upon His people forever. This is especially important because humanity by nature lives in spiritual darkness. Sin blinds the heart. The people search everywhere for meaning and joy, yet remain spiritually restless apart from God. But Jesus came into the world not only to reveal God, but to reconcile sinners to Him. At the cross, Christ experienced the judgment so that God's favor could rest upon those who trust Him. And David continues in verse 7, "Fill my heart with joy when there are grain and new wine abound." David now compares two different kinds of joy. On one side is worldly joy. The people around him rejoice when grain and new wine abound. Grain and wine represent prosperity, abundance, successful harvest, financial stability, and earthly comfort. These things themselves are not evil. Scripture teaches us every good gift comes from God. Yet people often treat this gift as their ultimate treasure. David says there is a deeper joy than all earthly abundance. Notice this. David's circumstances have not changed. His enemies are still present. His reputation is still under attack. The difficulties have not disappeared yet. God fills his heart with joy because God himself has become his portion. This is a wonderful reality of Christian life. Believers can possess inward joy even while experiencing outward suffering. Christian joy is fundamentally different from worldly joy. Worldly joy depends upon circumstances. But Christian joy depends on Christ. Earthly things change constantly, but Christ does not. When life goes well, people feel secure. When suffering comes, joy disappears. But the joy Christ gives is deeper because it is rooted in an unchanging Savior. Our joy is no denial of pain. We do not pretend suffering is easy. Rather, our joy comes from knowing God is sovereign. Our joy rests in unchanging realities. Our sins are forgiven. We belong to God. Christ reigns. Our future glory is secure. And God gives us joy in difficult times. This explains how the Apostle Paul could rejoice in prison. It explains how persecuted Christians throughout history could sing while suffering. It explains how believers facing grief, sickness, or hardship can still possess deep joy. Do you experience this unspeakable joy? If not, come to the Lord Jesus. He will shine his face upon you and give you joy that the world cannot give. Lastly, God gives peace through Jesus Christ. The psalm ends with these beautiful words. Look at verse 8. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Despite his circumstances, he says, I will lie down and sleep. Imagine you are the King David now. How can a man sleep peacefully in the middle of such trouble? Many people cannot sleep because of anxiety. Some lie awake, replaying conversation in their minds. Some are burdened with fear about the future. Others are crushed by guilt from the past. Some are terrified of losing control. Many are restless because their peace depends entirely upon circumstances going their way. Notice carefully what he says. For you alone, Lord. David's safety is not ultimately found in his army, his palace, his reputation, his intelligence, or even his power as a king. His peace rests in God alone. Here we see a sharp contrast between the peace the world offers and the peace God gives. Many try to build peace on unstable foundations. Some build peace on money, but money disappears. Others build peace on health, but health fades. Some build peace on relationships, but people disappoint us. And others build peace on reputation, but human approval changes overnight. Some build peace on themselves, but eventually we realize how weak and fragile we truly are. Everything in this world is unstable, but God never changes. This is why believers can have peace even when life feels uncertain. This leads us to one of the most important truths we must understand. Biblical peace does not mean the absence of trouble. Christians sometimes wrongly assume that if God is with them, life should become easy. But Psalm 4 teaches the opposite. David still has enemies. The slander has not necessarily stopped. The conflict is still real, yet his heart is filled with peace. It is because biblical peace is not primarily about the circumstances around us, biblical peace is about God reigning over us. The Hebrew word for peace, shalom, speaks of wholeness, security, and well-being under the blessing of God. This means it is possible to experience outward conflict while still possessing inward peace. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul describes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. This is very famous to Christians. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Paul does not say Christians will never struggle. He says, in the middle of anxiety, prayer leads us to the peace of God in Christ. This peace surpasses understanding because the world cannot explain it. How can believers suffer deeply and still possess peace? How could martyrs sing while dying? How could imprisoned Christians rejoice? Because Christian peace does not come from the world. It comes from God in Christ. Psalm 4 points us ultimately to Jesus Christ. David was a king who trusted God in distress. But Jesus is God's promised king who perfectly trusted the Father in the greatest distress imaginable. Think about the night before the cross. Jesus was betrayed by one of his own disciples. Everyone abandoned him. He was falsely accused, mocked, rejected, abandoned, beaten, and condemned, and crucified. Yet in the middle of all this turmoil, Jesus spoke the words of peace to his disciples. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, as not as the world gives, do I give to you." The world's peace depends on changing circumstances, but Jesus gives unshakable peace, peace with God. Our greatest problem is not suffering, but sin. We suffer because of sin, our sin and others' sin. And we are separated from God and guilty before Him. But Jesus reconciles us to God through the cross. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, our peace rests not on our performance, but the finished work of Christ, the Prince of Peace." David says, "In peace I will lie down and sleep." Sleep itself is an act of trust. We rest because we trust God to sustain us. Psalm 4 reminds us that believers can rest not only in life, but even in death. Throughout Scripture, death for believers is often described as a sleep because Christ has conquered the grave. Jesus himself entered the sleep of death and rose again victoriously. Because Jesus is risen, our future is secure. Suffering is temporary, and eternal peace is certain. The world searches for peace in everything, but nothing can satisfy the restless soul made for knowing God and having relationship with Him. Only Christ gives a true peace. So whatever burdens we carry, Psalm 4 invites us to bring them to God honestly, who gives us peace through Christ. Perhaps this morning, some among us are deeply anxious. Some carry hidden burdens. Some are emotionally exhausted. Some are fearful about the future. Others wounded by what people have said about them. Some people ashamed. Some feel spiritually weak. Psalm 4 does not tell us to pretend life is easy. Instead, it invites us to bring our troubled hearts honestly before God. Psalm 4 teaches us what to do when distress, shame, anxiety, and conflict surround us. We are called to pray to God and trust His grace and rest in His presence. Ultimately, Psalm 4 points us to Jesus Christ. Jesus is a true righteous King, the falsely accused, the suffering King, the light of God's face shining upon us, the Prince of Peace. Because Jesus died and rose again, believers are heard by God, accepted by God, loved by God, and safe in God forever. So whatever burdens you carry today, bring them to God. Psalm 4 should be our prayer. Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We experience troubles in our life, but we bring our hearts before you because we trust you are righteous God. And we want to live in holiness in our trouble because we know that you give us joy deeper than the world, and you give us peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you for your wonderful work in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.